Let's just pray before I begin here. Father God, I pray that my words will be pleasing to you, that you'd open our ears to what you might be saying to us, and that you'd speak into our lives today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, hello everybody.
Hello.
That's really lovely to be here. Thank you, Simon, if you're watching online. You might not be, you might be in your bed, I don't know. But thank you for inviting me along. Like I say, it's really, really lovely to be here today. Now, before we begin, I'd like to give a wee overview of the context of the passage and who Jesus was actually talking to and what has gone before. And I think this helps us add to our understanding of a passage. So let's take a look at the background before we begin looking deeper into the passage. So Jesus has been talking to a crowd of people and returns to a house where he explains the parable of the weeds to his disciples. And Jesus has been telling lots of parables up to this point, and he's been talking about the kingdom of heaven. Now, he's just finished explaining about what the parable of the weeds means, and he's moved on to tell his disciples these parables about the hidden treasure, the hidden pearl, and the parable of the net as well. So he's talking to his disciples here, and they would have been the main people who would be able to relate to what finding life-giving treasure is about. Now, in those days, there were stories within that culture, or even in the villages, of people who suddenly became rich by stumbling upon some hidden treasure. So this type of story would have been well known, actually, in the culture of the day. So now that's the kind of scene being set for all this. Now let's look together at the passages we've just read. So if we read verse 44 again. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had to buy that field. So what we notice is that this man just stumbles upon this valuable treasure in a field. And in his joy, he went and sold everything. He wasn't sad. He wasn't holding on to the things he had. Instead, he gave everything up with joy. And joy is a wonderful word, isn't it? It wasn't an issue for him to leave behind what he had because he was receiving something better. And this made him pretty happy, or a better word for it might be glad. He was glad to give up what he had. Now, in the culture of the time, a lot of people didn't put their money or treasure in the bank. They would have actually buried their valuables in a field or other places, and they maybe would have died or left it there without going and getting it again. The person who found it couldn't just take it. It wasn't fair game. If they wanted to own that treasure, they'd have to buy the place where the treasure was stored to take ownership of that treasure. And this meant for this man selling all he had to buy this land. He saw how valuable this treasure was, and he knew that he had to get it, even if it meant giving up everything he had to get it. Now, an important thing to note here is that the man in the field isn't actively looking for a particular treasure. It seems he just stumbles upon this treasure. But once he found it, he saw its value and realized its worth. And he saw that it was worth selling everything he had for it. So if we go to the next slide, and we can look then at verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So this parable essentially is slightly different. There's this merchant out actively looking for valuable pearls. So we can see he wasn't looking for one pearl, he was actually looking for multiple pearls here. But what happens? Well, he ends up finding one extremely awesome pearl, and he sells all the other pearls for this one pearl. He recognizes this pearl's value, he recognizes its worth, and he recognizes it's worth selling everything he has to actually get it. Basically, in these two parables, I believe that Jesus is saying the same thing here, and that is, the benefits of following Jesus outweigh the costs. So the benefits of following Jesus outweigh the costs. The message of the gospel, the message of life which Jesus brings, has incredible value. It's life-changing if you accept it. Its worth is immeasurable, and you then become part of the kingdom of heaven. So next slide. The message of Jesus, if accepted, brings what I like to call the four P's: pardon, peace, purpose, and paradise. And these are all things offered by the message of Jesus. What we get if we follow Jesus are those four P's: pardon, forgiveness for our sins, peace, the Holy Spirit is with us, purpose, God gives us a purpose in our life, and ultimately paradise in the end when we be with God. And it's really an incredible exchange. We get all this, but what did Jesus get? Well, he got death on the cross so that we could have that pardon, peace, purpose, and paradise. And the benefits of being a follower of Jesus, some are realized now in the present, but they are actually fully realized in the future, in eternity, a future with God, pardon, peace, purpose, and paradise. And you aren't promised this life will be easy, but you are promised help and hope in this life. Now, we could be sitting here today and could be like this pearl guy, and we are actively seeking the meaning of life and seeking God and seeking to hear from God. Or we could be like the guy in the field, and we might be in this building because a friend has asked us, or we felt drawn or just walked in, and we're really not seeking at all or not sure what we're looking for. Either way, when we're confronted with Jesus and his word, we actually have a decision to make. We can either see its worth or we can discard it. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever seen a TV series called Only Fools and Horses. Anybody seen it? Yeah? Okay, that's good. I really love Only Fools and Horses, by the way. It's a great, great show. If you haven't seen it before, I'm going to spoil the ending for you. So you're not going to have time to watch it if you haven't seen it before. So there's a character in it called Del Boy, all right? He's a bit of a wheeler dealer, and he's got a brother called Rodney. And they sell tat, basically, on market stalls in London. And they're basically struggling through life to make ends meet. Del, though, is always the optimist, and one of his catchphrases is, "This time next year, we'll be millionaires." But that never looked like it was ever going to happen, until in one of the last series of Only Fools and Horses. So the father of Del's wife in this episode comes round, and the father of Del's wife is like an antiques dealer, and he stumbles upon this old pocket watch that Del has in his garage. And Del has had this watch for years and years, but he's discarded it as being worthless. But when the antiques dealer saw this pocket watch, he seen its worth and its value, and he gave it to Del to take it to auction, and it made millions of pounds. It was so valuable, but Del Boy didn't know its worth. It was only when it was explained to him by someone who knew what they were talking about. Next slide. And this, for me, is the type of world we actually live in today. Many don't know the value of the gospel and its ability to bring life and to provide purpose for society. And people can discard it. And maybe they do know its worth and value, but they choose to ignore it, because they don't want to give up their way of life or change anything. But as God's partners, followers of Jesus, can point out value in our lives to those other people. The value which the gospel has brought. We can introduce people to Jesus. And this might take the form of a word in season, or you sharing what Jesus has actually done in your life as well. Next slide. And in these parables, the guy in the field and the merchant don't just look at the treasure. They see its value and they give up everything for it. They buy into it wholeheartedly. Like the merchant finds this single pearl, which is more valuable than multiple pearls. And today there are thousands and thousands of ideologies and self-help guides that we can buy into, and not all of them are bad. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is better than all of these put together. The reality that God created you in his image to be his partner Even though we as humans broke our partnership with God, he still loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us so that we could have God in our life today and ultimately eternal life at the end. And this is incredible, and it brings that pardon, peace, purpose, and paradise. And if we see the value and worth of faith in Jesus, then we do have to leave things behind. But what we get is worth far more than what we leave behind. What we get is worth far more than what we leave behind. And what Jesus has provided us with is the gospel. And it's valuable because, again, it brings that pardon, peace, purpose, and paradise. And from what we see in these passages, it's worth giving everything up for. It's worth completely altering your life for. Now, have we given up something in our lives that is valuable? I have an example, and it's one I remember from when I was P6 in school. I love football. I still do like football, but not as much as I did in P6. I lived and breathed it when I was younger, and I used to collect these Merlin Premier League stickers. There you go, it's on the screen there. And every Saturday, I'd save up, and I'd use up all my pocket money to buy these packs and packs of stickers from the newsagent to complete this sticker book. That is the actual sticker book there as well, by the way. And I'd have so many doubles after a while, which means basically the same kind of stickers I already had in the book, so I'd be able to trade them for ones I didn't have. And it came to a point, though, where I had nearly finished this book. I needed a few more stickers, but there was this one sticker which was notorious among my friends, which was really hard to get, and it was this sticker of a Chelsea player named Gavin Peacock. And could I get the sticker? No, I couldn't. I couldn't find it anywhere. None of my friends had it. None of their friends had it. There was no doubles of it anywhere. And nobody in school had this sticker. And no matter how many sticker packs I bought, I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it. So it became a bit of an obsession trying to find this. But this one day in primary school, I was in the lunch queue, and I spotted this guy in P7, and he was trading his double stickers. And there was this sticker of Gavin Peacock. And I asked him what he wanted for it. And he said, all my stickers, all my doubles, which there was a lot of them. There's about that much of them. And when I was younger, Man United were a decent team. And lots of people used to support them. I don't know where all those people went now. But and in my sticker doubles, I had this valuable Manchester United badge, which was like a shiny badge. And for that, I could have got 3 stickers for this one sticker. So that was in my doubles. But I realized how valuable this sticker of Gavin Peacock was. And I'd been looking for it for a long time. I realized how difficult it was to get, so I'd give them all for it. I traded all my double stickers for this one Gavin Peacock sticker. And as a kid, that was an important part of my life. And I realized the value of this treasure, of this Gavin Peacock sticker. But that was a long, drawn-out story. But I guess I'm trying to say, in a light-hearted way, something much greater. Followers of Jesus, or Christians, as we're sometimes known, have found this life-giving treasure in Jesus. It's him who provides that ultimate pardon, peace, purpose, and paradise. And this treasure is worth so much. But are we willing to give up what we see as valuable for it? Are we willing to let others know about our faith? Are we willing to stand together as Christians for our faith as well? Down the centuries, there have been Christians willing to give up everything, their careers, money, status, their lives, even for their faith. And there are people around the world doing that today. There are people here in this church who have left their old life behind, old friends or situations which weren't good for their relationship with Jesus. And they left it behind. They found the truth in Jesus and followed him. And part of faith is actually denying yourself and coming to a realization that you need Jesus. And that kingdom of heaven is so valuable. And with these parables, Jesus is talking not just about non-religious eyes being opened, but also the eyes of the Pharisees and religious leaders of the day, their eyes being opened. They were confronted with the Son of God, but were they willing to change who they were or change their career path for them? And the answer was to that was no. And we can find that too in churches where we become super religious and ritual can take over. And maybe we don't actually want to change our routine or feed into the bigger picture of what God is doing in the world. We can actually forget about the treasure that we've found. But I have to say that if what Jesus said is correct, then we have something so valuable, something so extremely beautiful and important that it's worth giving our life to it wholeheartedly. And I don't just mean serving or giving our time, but to be in relationship with God and to know who we are in Him. And Christians in here, are you aware of just how valuable your faith in God is? Just how valuable your place in the kingdom of heaven is? I think sometimes we can lose sight of just how amazing the kingdom of heaven is, how valuable it is. And it's important to be reminded of it sometimes and to grasp the significance of it, how it can change our lives now, but also we have this to look forward to in eternity, and it's available to everyone. It's a free choice. And to quote C.S. Lewis, there are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind. There are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind. And that is our journey with Jesus. We have a choice to follow Him and a choice to hear Him every day. We find that treasure, which we know can change our lives, very much like in these parables. And the characters in these parables could have ignored the valuable treasure they found. They knew, though, that buying into this was going to radically change their lives. But they seen its worth, and they did it. Like when Jesus meets the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler asks him what he has to do to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, sell all you have and give it to the poor. But Jesus wasn't just asking him to give up what was important to him, in this case money. He was asking this rich young ruler to see the value and worth in what he was saying and what Jesus was saying, and to change his way of life. And the rich young ruler couldn't do that, and he went away sad. He couldn't part with his money because he loved it too much. His love of money was holding him back from Jesus, and he missed out on that pardon, peace, purpose, and paradise. And some people can see the value of what Jesus did and said, and we can see that treasure. But it means actually giving up things to follow Jesus. Jesus asks us to die to our old selves and be willing to take on a new self in Him. So can I encourage you to seek God today? Seek Him and find that treasure, that pardon, peace, purpose, and paradise. And if you've maybe forgotten what that treasure is like, let me encourage you that God wants to bring a refreshing to you and restore your faith. I'm coming in to land the plane. I'm just going to look at the last couple of verses here. We finally read the other parable. And that other parable was the parable of the net. And it's a really interesting one. Jesus has talked about how valuable the kingdom of heaven actually is. And he's asking you the question, how valuable do you think it is? And this parable of the net changes gears slightly. Jesus talks about the end times. The fishermen in this parable are using what's called a dragnet. And it isn't a small net, it's actually quite a large net, which covers a fair amount of water. And this net is representative of the gospel. Just as the net was cast into the sea, drawing many fish, the gospel message is spread out into the entire world. And this message is the kingdom of heaven, drawing many people to it. Just as the net gathered all types of fish, regardless of their value, the gospel attracts many people who neither repent nor desire to follow Jesus. Just as the fish could not be sorted until the net was pulled ashore, so believers masquerading as true Christians will not be made known until the end of the age. And these false believers or teachers can be likened to the rocky soil or the thorny soil, which is in Matthew 13 as well, or to the tares of wheat, which was in verse 40 just before these parables. And they claim to have a relationship with Jesus, saying, Lord, Lord, and Jesus will reply, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. They honour Jesus with their lips, but their hearts are actually far from Him. And the sober and main point of this parable of the net, I think, can be summed up like this. A day of reckoning will come, which God will separate out true believers from pretenders, and those found to be false will be separated eternally from God. God's heart is that no one would be separated from him, but ultimately it's each person's choice. Now, I want to leave you with one question. Can you see the treasure of the kingdom of heaven? The value and the worth which it brings? The kingdom of heaven is actually here now. Not in its fullness, but it's here. And you can be a part of that. It brings value and worth. And it's worth leaving everything behind. So what might be holding you back? Ultimately, you receive that pardon, peace, purpose, and in the end, paradise. So can you see the treasure in the kingdom of heaven? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we are valued by you, that you care and love us and want us to know you. We ask that you'd help us see that treasure which you bring through Jesus, and that we are in the kingdom of heaven if we follow him. And we pray for that pardon, peace, purpose, and ultimately paradise. Amen.